Okay, so we move to Zechariah chapter 4 and his fifth vision. The angel who talked with me came again and wakened me as one is wakened from sleep. And he said to me, "What do you see?" And I said, "I see a lampstand all of gold with a bowl on the top of it. There are seven lamps on it with seven lips on each of the lamps that are on top of it. And by it there are two olive trees, one on the right of the bowl and the other on its left." This will come into the book of the Apocalypse, but we'll leave that for a minute. "And I said to the angel who talked with me, 'What are these, my Lord?'" The very question you had in your mind as you read. "Then the angel who talked with me answered me, 'Do you not know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.' He said to me, 'This is the word of Yahweh to Zerubbabel.'" So he's still there as the governor. "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says Yahweh of hosts." Not a bad line, is it, for the church and for every group to reflect on. "What are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel you shall become a plain, and he shall bring out the capstone amid shouts of grace to it. Moreover, the word of Yahweh came to me, saying, 'The hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house.'" We know that from Haggai. "'His hands shall also complete it. Then you'll know that Yahweh of hosts has sent me to you. For whoever has despised the day of small things shall rejoice and shall see the plumb line in the hand of Zerubbabel.'" Small is beautiful. Who wrote that? You might know. I read it when I was in the university. So don't despise small, because what they're doing is very small, this bit of a temple they're trying to build. "Whoever has despised the day of small things will rejoice. These seven are the eyes of Yahweh, which range through the whole earth." And we've seen that with the horses before. "Then I said to him, 'What are the two olive trees on the right and left of the lampstand?' And a second time I said to him, 'What are these two branches of the olive trees which pour out the oil through the two golden pipes?' And he said to me, 'Don't you know what these are?' And I said, 'No, my Lord.'" So we got that clear. Then he said, "These are the two anointed sons who stand by the Lord of the whole earth." And I've put a little thing there. Is this Zerubbabel and Joshua? Another vision. "Again I looked up and I saw a flying scroll." This bloke must have been a very imaginative chap. You know, we live such a boring life, don't we? "He looked up, he saw a flying scroll. And he said to me, 'What do you see?'" This is very repetitive. "And I said, 'I see a flying scroll. Its length is 20 cubits and its width 10 cubits. So it's pretty big. Then he said to me, 'This is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole land. Everyone who steals shall be acquitted according to the writing on one side, and everyone who swears falsely shall be acquitted according to the writing on the other side. I've sent it out, says Yahweh of hosts, and it shall enter the house of the thief and the house of anyone who swears falsely by my name. And it shall abide in that house and consume it, both timber and stones." the Redemptress, you must remember some of those early. You must remember some of those early missions. I mean, this is not bad, is it? They've got this scroll flying through the air, and anyone who robs, especially doesn't put enough money on the plate, which is that's a form of robbery, of thieving. And anyone who swears falsely. Oh, no, I think not putting it on would be the wrong thing to do. But you've got a point. All right. Is it gone? A comment. To attempt to destroy foreign idols, as Josiah did, would have caused problems, this is background to what you're going to hear, for the powerless and subject state of Judah. He wasn't in a position to get rid of other gods that were part of the general Persian authority, because what power has he got? So he couldn't do that. So the Jews were forced to respect these gods. The angels closed the basket containing a figurine of Asherah. So this little statue thing they held of Asherah. Mysterious heavenly women, figures, take the image of the goddess, brackets, along with the taxes, maybe, and they fly it away to Babylon. They don't destroy the idol. They sent it to Babylon in among the money, where they respectfully construct a shrine for it and set it on its base. So they're respecting the other gods, meaning the other nations, the other parts of this massive Persian Empire. Let the Babylonians worship Asherah, but it's no place in the restored Judah, who are not to have their eyes looking for prosperity to the female goddess Asherah. Their concern must be, quote, the eyes of Yahweh which range through the whole earth. They are, after all, again to quote earlier, the apple of Yahweh's eye. So, chapter 6, vision 8. Again, I looked up and saw four chariots coming out from between two mountains, mountains of bronze. The first chariot had red horses, the second chariot black horses, the third chariot white horses, and the fourth chariot dappled grey horses. Then I said to the angel who talked with me, "What are these, my Lord?" The angel answered me, "These are the four winds of heaven going out after presenting themselves before the Lord of all the earth. The chariot with the black horses goes towards the north country. The chariot with the white ones go towards the west, and the dappled one goes towards the south." There seems to be a gap there. "When the steeds came out, they were impatient to get off and patrol the earth. And he said, 'Go, patrol the earth.' So they patrolled the earth. Then he cried out to me, 'See, those who go towards the north country have set my spirit at rest in the north country.'" The north is where all the invaders come from, because they've got to go up and down the Fertile Crescent into Palestine. So everything's at peace up there. Well, that's good news. They're coming back to tell them that there's no war on the horizon. "Thus says Yahweh of hosts, 'Here is a man whose name is Branch. For he shall branch out in his place, and he will build the temple of Yahweh.'" Now that's a text that still holds value into the New Testament. You remember when Jesus, who acknowledges the king, the Messiah, the group of people on Palm Sunday, they thought he was the king. It's so powerful in Mark's gospel, which is Peter's gospel, because Peter was there and Mark's picked it up beautifully. And here he comes in with shouting to the Son of David, you know, all this excitement that this could be the Messiah. And he's coming down into Jerusalem and he walks into the temple and everyone is expecting this. He's going to be the one that'll rebuild the temple. And Jesus walks in, and then it says it was getting late, so he went off home. It's a real, like the bubble goes, nothing seems to happen. He just goes in and looks around and goes home. And then the next day he comes in, and you remember that, the cursing of the fig tree, which fits in here too. The fig tree, the kind of false peace that they're living in. And then he comes in and he empties the temple, which is absolutely horrible, and that's what they killed him for. Remember when he said he's going to destroy this temple, because the temple he wants to build, that temple's gone. It should be a temple for all the people, but it's not. It's a little local thing just for Jews or whatever group. And if your parish ever becomes a little tiny little place just for us, well, it's no longer valid. So we've got a mission to the whole world, and the temple that Jesus is building is the temple of his own body and the people who are attached to him, the community. But there's the text. I'll read it again without distraction. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, chapter 6, verse 12, here is a man whose name is Branch. He shall branch out in this place, and he will build the temple of Yahweh. I might have told you, but years ago, 25-something years ago, I was in Jerusalem, maybe more than that. And I was in some part, I can't remember. Yeah, I think it was in where the Christian, you know, the crucifixion is, and the resurrection, the tomb in that area. Anyhow, there was a Jewish rabbi there next to me, and I said to him, I talked to him about the building. How did he feel about the mosque being on the site of where the temple should be? He was upset, and he said, oh, I'm absolutely fine about that. I said, oh, and I asked him, he said, oh no, he said, only the Messiah can build the temple. So they're waiting for the Messiah. They won't do it. They won't interfere. He will build the temple of Yahweh. It is he who shall build the temple of Yahweh. He shall bear royal honor and shall sit and rule on his throne. There shall be a priest by his throne, with peaceful understanding between the two of them. So in that text, Zerubbabel is not named. As I said earlier, Zerubbabel simply disappears from the historical record. We can only surmise, I've got this of course from the scholars, we can only surmise that things didn't work out as expected, and so the messianic figure who would in fact complete the temple is left undetermined in the text. While they are awaiting this promised leader, it's the high priest who is to keep the crown in the temple, ready, whoever it is, to anoint the Messiah on that day. Chapter 7, verse 8 and following, the word of Yahweh came to Zechariah, saying, thus says Yahweh of hosts, render true judgments, show kindness and mercy to one another. Do not oppress the widow, the orphan, the resident alien, or the poor. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another. So he's in the central stream of prophetic words. But they refused to listen, and they turned a stubborn shoulder and stopped their ears in order not to hear. They made their hearts adamant in order not to hear the Torah and the words that Yahweh of hosts has sent by his Spirit through the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath came from Yahweh of hosts. It's a comment. If the behaviour of their ancestors in refusing to hear and heed God's words brought about the change from prosperity to adversity, which was their understanding, so Zechariah's contemporaries, if they heed and follow God's word coming to them through him, the prophet of Yahweh, the servant of Yahweh, they will see a change from adversity to prosperity. A reversal of what's happened. Chapter 8. For thus says Yahweh of hosts, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I'll bring them to live in Jerusalem. They will be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness. And a little later in the chapter, for thus says Yahweh of hosts, just as I purposed to bring disaster upon you when your ancestors provoked me to wrath and I did not relent, says Yahweh of hosts, so again I have purposed in these days to do good to Jerusalem and to the house of Judah. Do not be afraid. I think do not be afraid is the most common expression in the whole of the ancient biblical Hebrew Bible. These things are the things you shall do. Speak the truth to one another. Render in your gates, because the gate was the open square, the only open square in the city, in the town. So that's where they carried out the market and also the judgments and everything. So render in your gates judgments that are true and make for peace. Do not devise evil in your hearts against one another, and love no false oath. For all these things I hate, says Yahweh. Love, truth, and peace. And the final part of our scroll. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, people shall yet come, the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, come, let's go to entreat the favour of Yahweh and to seek Yahweh of hosts. I myself am going. And many peoples, what a lovely image this is, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favour of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, in those days 10 men from nations of every language shall take hold of a Jew, grasping his garment and saying, let's go with you, for we've heard that God is with you. It's a beautiful ending to a rather difficult kind of a set of statements, but you've got the picture of this hope and love, and obviously you can, it doesn't, that helps you feel what it must have felt like to Paul of Tarsus and to Barnabas and to Luke and these other first century Greek Jews, Greek rather than Semitic Jews, what the excitement it must have been for them to go out and see this happening. And that's why Luke's Gospel, as you know, starts in Jerusalem, ends in Jerusalem, and the Acts of the Apostles starts there and then spreads right out to the centre of the then-known world, ending with Paul in Rome, with complete freedom, spreading the word. So I'll just read that again, because that's what Christianity sees itself as. Many peoples and strong nations will come to seek Yahweh of hosts in Jerusalem and to entreat the favour of Yahweh. Thus says Yahweh of hosts, in those days 10 men from nations of every language shall take hold of a Jew, grasping his garment and saying, so imagine the Jew as Jesus, and you've really got it. Let's go with you, for we've heard that God is with you. So that completes Zechariah. And were I, and it would be lovely to do it, but I can't do everything, if I was doing the prophecies exactly in order, the next thing we would do would be the last part of the scroll of Isaiah, who's a contemporary, a bit later probably, but at this in the last years of the 6th century, and those beautiful chapters from 56 to 66 of the scroll of Isaiah, they're just glorious material. But I lectured on it 2 years ago, so forgive me for leaving that. So next week, we're going to start, it should be interesting, as best I can make it interesting, because we're moving into a whole new world. We're moving into the 5th century and the history and Marathon, and you know, the Greeks are coming into the picture, and and it's quite a confusing historical time because there's not enough evidence around. There's a lot of evidence from the Greek writers, but not from elsewhere. But we're going to have a look at the rest of the scrolls there. And I'll begin next week with Obadiah and then the last chapters that go on to the scroll of Zechariah.